You have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 10. We're going to be in John chapter 10 this morning as we're continuing our series on I Am. This week we're going to talk about probably one of the least known I Am statements that Jesus made. But before we kind of jump into the sermon, as we're singing How Great Thou Art, one of my favorite hymns there are, and there's this memory that I have that every time I hear it, it just takes me back to a specific time, a specific place in which my high school English teacher, Mr. Richburg, lost his mother. And he came to church the Sunday after, because she was a member of our church. He came to this church the Sunday after, and he played the piano, and he sang How Great Thou Art in the shadow of his mother's death. And it was probably one of the most touching, moving experiences, because he was extremely gifted in playing the piano, extremely gifted at singing. But it wasn't just his talent, it was just the sheer emotion of the moment that in his biggest loss of his life, he was still able to stand there saying how great God is, even though he was going through a personal time. So Missy didn't know that story, so I'm just telling you that, Missy. So every time I hear that song, that's where I'm transported in that the emotions of that moment. John chapter 10, we are continue the I Am series, and I want to clarify and make sure I point out that in light of this, this is one of the few instances in which Jesus says, I am, and there's no recorded anger, no recorded backlash for him saying it in this in these verses. I've got to be careful because we start in John chapter 10 this week, and we continue in John chapter 10 this next week, because this week we're talking about Jesus saying, I am the door, and he's picking up the same thought next week when he says, I am the good shepherd. And so there's a distinction there that I've got to draw that line so that I don't preach to y'all two sermons on a holiday weekend. Y'all just need one on this holiday weekend. But in light of John 10:11, Jesus preached he preached John 10:1-10 in that he says, I am the door. Like I said, this is probably one of the least familiar I am statements that he is. I don't know if it's because he compared himself to an inanimate object or other things he was comparing himself to real things, but the thought and the meaning he has behind saying I am the door is just as powerful as him saying I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the resurrection and the life. The same thought and the same heart goes in that. So let's read John chapter 10 verses 1-10, and then we'll jump into what God is saying for us today. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In John 10:10, which is familiar to us all, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The role of a shepherd is confusing to me in Scripture, because oftentimes it's said by commentators and by people that are a lot smarter than me that the shepherds were just not very popular people, that shepherds struggled when it comes to society. I mean, if you live with a bunch of sheep, you smell like a bunch of sheep, and you probably are not the most welcome person at a social gathering, okay? But the problem that I have is, if you look at the Old Testament, some of the most famous people of the Old Testament were shepherds. Abraham was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd before he came a king. Jesus in the New Testament constantly identifies himself to being a shepherd. I don't think being a shepherd is an insult. And I think being a sheep is an insult. The youth often accuse me of hating sheep. I don't hate sheep. I just tell the truth about sheep. Sheep are ignorant animals. Okay? They're dumb. There's a video going around online that I've had three or four youth send to me since I've said these statements of a man dragging a sheep out of a hole for him to run 5 feet down and fall right back in the same hole that he just got taken out of. The problem with that is that reminds me of myself more than it does a sheep. So often God drags me out of the mire, God drags me out of the sin, and where do I find myself? Right back in the same sin. So although it might be an insult to be compared to sheep, I think we've earned that with the way that we live our lives and the mistakes that we make. Because not only are sheep ignorant in that they can't watch where they're going, do you know if sheep are left on a pasture too long, they'll eat the grass until it's dead and they'll remove their food source? That's why shepherds have to constantly lead them to a new area, because they will eliminate the very source of food that it takes to sustain them. A sheep, if you take them to running water, will not drink water. You have to find a still, non-moving water supply that is not nasty for a sheep to drink. And if a sheep is attacked by a wolf, a sheep will run away from the wolf. The problem is, sheep run in circles when they're being attacked. So if the wolf will stop, the sheep will run right back into them. So to me, the insult is not that we are comparing Christ to the shepherd. It's that he is comparing us to the sheep. And the insult rests within us. And I don't think Jesus is trying to hurt our feelings, but he's just trying to make a pretty good point, guys. We get ourselves in messes, and it takes people like him to come down and get us out of it. Is that not the gospel of Jesus Christ? That we found ourselves in a place that we could not get out of. We found ourselves in a place that we could not rescue ourselves from. So Jesus had to step down from the glories of heaven, live on this earth, die on a cross for our sins so that he could rescue us from that claim. He's been a shepherd to us our whole lives, and we didn't know it. But the picture that you see in here in John 10, verses 1 through 10, is a shepherd at the end of a day. Now, the shepherds, as they were coming to the end of the day, they would find a spot, or they would find a fence, or they would get their sheep in a certain spot where that there was a small entrance in and a small entrance out, and there's only one way in and one way out. He would drive the sheep through that opening, and then at night he would lay it down across the opening. And he would basically say, if anybody gets to my sheep, they have to come over me to get to them. So when he says, I am the door, he's picturing himself as a shepherd lying down in that way and saying, if you're going to get to them, you're coming over me. Because one of the things that we forget about shepherds, although they are around the animals, they're out in the wilderness, they're kind of isolated themselves from normal people, shepherds are tough. When David went against Goliath, he wasn't scared of this 7-foot-tall man, not because he had fought men before, because he had fought lions and bears in one. And I'll be honest with you, if I ever fought a lion, I ever fought a bear, I am not scared of anybody in this room. I don't care how much bigger you are than me. I don't care how much tougher you are. If I can beat a bear, I can beat any man in this room. All right? And the trials of being a shepherd trained David for the calling that God placed on his life. And I think we can examine Jesus as the shepherd, and he can prepare us for everything in our life. See the first part of that in verse 7, it says this. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. To enter the family of God, we must go through Jesus. All right? There is not other ways to heaven. We've covered this for numerous weeks, but I'm going to continue to cover this because there is a watered-down gospel saying Jesus is one of the ways, or Jesus might be kind of the way. No, Jesus is the door. That's what he says. If you want to come into my pasture, you have to come through my door. Everyone else that comes in another way is a thief and a robber. What does verse 10 tell us about thieves and robbers? They come to steal, kill, and destroy. How many people in here has ever had something stolen from them? That was a good feeling, wasn't it? Did y'all enjoy the feeling of being stolen from? Does it just get to you that somebody would come and take something that you work for? I believe Jesus feels the same way when it talks about people that are saying things that aren't true about his gospel. The only way into the family of God, the only way to enter into the glories of heaven, the only way to ensure our eternity, well, not our eternity, because we're all going to live forever. All right, we're going to die on this earth. We might live down there with Satan, or we might live up there with God, but we're all going to live for eternity. The only way to assure that we're going to go to heaven is through the door that Jesus Christ is. Church, baptism, service, morality, all these things are not entrances into heaven. There's a story in the Bible of Jesus hanging on the cross, and one of the criminals looking at Jesus and said, "Hey, can I be with you in heaven this day?" And Jesus said yes to him. That man did nothing to deserve heaven. He was a criminal being executed for his mistakes and executed for the sin that was in his life. Yet when Jesus said he was going to be in heaven, guess what? I believe that man's in heaven right now. Why? Because it's not about what we do. It's not about who we are. It's not about the life that we live. It's about, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is he the door that you've entered through? Children, I want to say this to you, whether you're 18 years old or whether you're 8 years old. You can't walk through your parents' door. You don't know Jesus because your parents know Jesus. You're not going to go to heaven because your parents go to heaven. It's a personal relationship that you have with him. It's personal entry into heaven. You cannot be guaranteed based off of what somebody else did in generations past. Verse 8 tells us this. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. When I was in school, my Old Testament professor was a man named Dr. Lee. Dr. Lee was 185 years old, I believe, when he was teaching my class. He was the oldest professor that we had on campus. Dr. Lee was in his late 80s with the last class that I had him. And he said he was going to teach until he couldn't teach anymore. He did that. And I knew when I came in that Dr. Lee was not going to be around when I graduated. And he wasn't. He died while I was at school there. And so what I did is I made a choice is to take as many of his classes as I could as quickly as possible because I didn't know how long he was going to be able to continue to teach. And I determined that I would rather get a C in Dr. Lee's class than get an A in the other professor's class. Not that the other professor was bad in any means. Dr. Lee was old school, and he made you walk the line. Like when it was time for class to start, he would go shut the door, and that meant if you weren't in the room, then you weren't coming in the room. Like, the class started at a certain time, and so if you showed up to his class and the door shut, you just turned around and went back home. You missed that class. But I remember him telling this story, and we were going through Psalms at the time, and he talked about going to Israel, and he'd been to Israel and Jerusalem so many times that he could say, when King David said this in Psalms, this is what he was looking at. This is what he's talking about. When you walk up the hill to Jerusalem, you see this. And that's why he wrote the Psalm. He knew the Holy Land so well that the Bible came alive to him. And he said on one of those trips, he said, I watched 5 shepherds come into this field and talk. He said they sat there and they talked for about 20 or 30 minutes. And he said, I wanted to see what happened with the sheep. He said, because as they were talking, their sheep just kind of mingled together, just kind of crisscrossed, and they all got mixed in with each other. He said, so I sat down and waited for them to finish their conversation because, he said, I just was assured that this was going to be a funny sight watching them trying to separate their sheep. He said, after 20 minutes, they shook hands and they walked away. This shepherd went this way, this shepherd went this way, this shepherd went this way, and this way. And you know what happened? The sheep just followed him. There was no arguing. There was no fighting. There was no grabbing this one or that one. They called out to their sheep, and their sheep just followed along. Now listen to what it says in verse 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Why? Because they were not their shepherd. See, we as sheep are supposed to know the voice of God. And it's supposed to lead us and guide us. Thieves are anything that doesn't come through the door of Jesus. If there's anything in your life that contradicts, stands against, or doesn't go with this book, this holy book of God, it's a thief. And it's trying to steal from you, it's trying to kill you, and it's kind of trying to destroy you. We can no longer be married to this world. We have to understand that we've been called out from amongst them by our shepherd. And we have to hear the voice of God. When I come up against things, when things try to enter my life that don't need to be there, I need, in the name of Jesus, to say, that has no place here. You know what I've learned? I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is so caught up in the permissible will of God that they're no longer interested in the perfect will of God. We're too busy saying, well, I can watch this, but should you watch that? Or I can listen to this, but should you listen to this? Or I can go here, but should you go there? And we allow these things to come into our lives that bring us nothing spiritually. And we try to justify what's going on. We ignore the bad to see the good, and we think something good's going to come to our life from it. And I stand here today and tell you that we have to understand anything that doesn't align with Jesus Christ is a thief and a robber, and it's trying to destroy us. The door is a symbol of protection and security for those on the inside. There was a moment in my life when I was lost, didn't know Jesus, and I didn't know church. And I run around with some guys that shouldn't have been around, got myself in a lot of trouble. And I remember one of those days we were walking down the road being delinquents, basically, and this dog got out. You know that mean dog in the neighborhood everybody's scared of? That dog got out. Like, it was chained to a tree in a backyard, and it had broke the chain and climbed under the fence and come after us. And I remember running from that dog. Guys, I wasn't as chunky as I was then as I am now, but I've never been fast by any way, shape, or form, okay? I was a 160-pound lineman in high school, not because I was a great lineman, but because I was too slow to be a receiver or a running back. So they didn't know what else to do with me, so they just said, hey, put him on the line. They don't have to run. All right, never been fast my whole life. That's the fastest I've ever run in my life. And I ran to my friend's yard, and I dove head first over that fence, and I laid on my back thinking I survived, only to watch my friend run through the gate and bust it wide open. He didn't flip the handle up. He just pushed it, and the handle bent around, and the gate wide open. I'm laying on my back like, oh, no. Breath knocked out of me. I get up, stumble over the fence, shut the fence right as the dog gets there. I've never been so happy to be on the other side of a fence as I was that day. Guys, I tell y'all, I understand what it means when Jesus says, I am the door. I know what it means when it says that Jesus says, you got to come through me to get to him, because when I shut that gate, I felt like I was saved. Now, that dog probably could have gone over the gate, probably could have gone under the gate. There probably have many, many different things that could have happened in that day. But for some reason, that dog ran up to that gate and just barked at me and stopped. A door is a symbol of protection. When Jesus says, I am the door, he's not saying, I'm the door to keep you in. He says, I'm the door to keep things out, to protect you, to keep you away from things that can harm you. Verse 9 says this, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. You see, in this verse, what Jesus is saying is that he is the true Messiah, the true Savior. Listen to it again. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. Salvation is found through the door. The door here represents Jesus Christ. And what is he saying? Salvation is found in me. Salvation is not found through a prayer, but you can find salvation in a prayer. Jesus is the salvation. It's where it comes from. He's the author and the perfecter of that. Salvation rests in Jesus Christ, the door. When we accept Jesus as the door, we can enter his protection as we please, which means when we find the salvation of Jesus Christ, his salvation secures us and protects us. But I want you to listen to the last part. I spent a lot of time in prayer thinking about this. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And last he said, and he will go in and out to find pasture. You see, it's this vision, this view of a shepherd and a sheep, in which the shepherd does not lock his sheep up all the time. The shepherd brings them in for the night, protects them, goes back out for the day. And they pasture, they find water, they find food, they find nourishment. And that's the same picture that we see here when it comes to us. And Jesus doesn't want to lock us away forever and separate us from this world and pull us into this place in which we have to stay. The lifestyle that we have gained here in America when Christianity is a set of rules and a set of things that we have to do, and it's this constrictive faith that we can't do anything. That's not what you see in Scripture. You see, I find salvation to be freedom. I find that there are things that God doesn't want me to do, not because he doesn't like me. He doesn't want me to do them in the same sense I don't want my children to do certain things on this earth, because it can bring damage and harm into their life. They think it can be fun. And there might be a little aspect of fun that's attached to it, but they don't understand the weight or the severity of the decisions that they make. It's my job as a parent to step in and protect them in those moments. It's the same thing for God with us. He's not trying to keep us from fun. He's trying to get us to experience the true fulfillment of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Starting this Wednesday, we're doing a Bible study here in the sanctuary. It's called Encounters with God. And we're going to look at personal encounters with God. People that had this personal encounter with God. And one of the first ones I started reading, and I'm obviously not doing it this week because I spoiled it for y'all, is Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, before sin, it said that they walked with God in the cool of the day. I'm fascinated by that statement. What does that mean, to walk with God in the cool of the day? Now, me and Heather try to walk. Doesn't happen all the time. Now the softball's over, we're trying to start. One of my favorite things to do is walk the neighborhood with my wife, because we spend more time talking, we spend more time with each other, and we deepen our relationship. Because let's be honest, husbands and wife, work draws us away from each other. Work can make strangers out of couples. And if couples don't try and bridge that gap, then you can be in relationship with somebody without being in relationship with somebody. You can have closeness without intimacy, right? And I think we've substituted closeness with God with intimacy with God. Oh, I read my Bible every day. Oh, I pray every day. That's fantastic. Do those things. Those things should be a part of your life. But have you walked in the cool of the day with your Lord, in which you're having a conversation with him and you're talking with him? See, when I read about coming in and going, that's what I'm talking about. God doesn't want to constrict us. God wants us to have a relationship with him in which we communicate and we talk and we love and we care for each other. It's so much deeper than just reading your Bible, than just coming to church. There's this interaction with a holy being that wants to be in relationship with us. My youth pastor used to say this. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's the importance of understanding that Jesus is the true Messiah. Jesus is the one that's here for our health. Everything else is here to take, take, and take. The last thing, verse 10, says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, at the risk of sounding like a prosperity preacher, which I am not, Jesus can give us an amazing life on this earth right now. I thank God for the life that He's given me on this earth. It's an amazing life. We had this, Josh knows what I'm talking about. He's my next door neighbor. We had this fast-talking bug salesman guy come to our house this weekend. And I used to think that I could be a bug guy. I don't know where Caden is. I used to think I could be a bug guy. But now all the bug guys that I see, every time somebody gets a new bug guy in our neighborhood, they come to my house wanting me to be their next customer. They go, like, so they get one house, it's like required by them, I don't know, to go door to door to door and try to find more business in that neighborhood, I guess, to be best for the company or whatever. So this young kid, at first I thought it was Justice Castile. When I come around the corner, I'm like, bro, it's Justice at my house. And then I thought it was Talon. What's Talon's last name? Anyway, y'all know Talon. Sorry, Justice, I confused you with Talon. I don't know if that's an insult or not. But then it comes out, it's this bug guy that, and his first words are to me, man, you got an amazing house. How did you accomplish this? I said, well, I gave my heart to the Lord. He called me in the ministry, and He's been pouring blessings on me ever since. He's like, well, what's ministry? Well, I'm a preacher, buddy. And I explained the gospel to him, and he asked me some other questions. But I could not explain how I have what I have. Me and Heather talked about it afterwards. I said, you know, me and Heather, when we got married, we thought our best life was a single-wide trailer on a half-acre lot. Not that there's anything wrong with a single-wide trailer on a half-acre lot. I'm not talking. But that's the best that we thought we would ever accomplish in life. I grew up in trailer parks, guys. My first 6 years, I shared a room with both my sisters in a two-bedroom trailer. I didn't think I had a lot to offer this world. I sure didn't think this world was going to have a lot to offer me. But guys, I can't stand here today in the blessings of God. He'd given me a better life than I could ever imagine, physically speaking. But listen to this. Jesus doesn't want to give us a meaningful life by the things that we have or the stuff that we do. Jesus wants to take us from spiritual intimacy to spiritual leaders. If you're not leading your family, if you're not leading in this church, Jesus is not happy with where you are, because He wants you to live off of meat, not off of milk. Secondly, He doesn't want us to stay in death. He wants us to live in life. Think about that. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, He took us from death to life. How could life get any better than that? How can this world offer us anything that can compete with the salvation that Jesus has to offer us? So when I talk about Jesus gives us a great life here and now, yes, He gives us a great life here and now, just by the sole fact of saving our souls. He found us enslaved to sin, and He set us free. He found us weak, and He gives us His strength. God does things to make this life amazing. But the abundant life that He's talking about is eternal, unbreakable relationship with Himself. As good as what we have in this world is, the abundant life that He's talking about is for a future time between us and Him. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm going to finish up with a couple questions. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you experienced that abundant life? Are you still resting in death? If you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm dealing with this abundant life, I challenge you to come forward and talk with me. Allow the opportunity for me to share with you what abundant life means. Number two, is Jesus the door that you're walking through? Are we allowing things of this world to come into our lives and to steal, kill, and destroy? When I say those things, there's many things that those can mean in many different ways. I'll go ahead and point it out. This thing right here, I don't think it came through the door. I don't think I can live my life without this phone, and that's sad because I grew up until I was like 20 years old before I had one in my pocket all the time. But this thing right here, you got to be careful of. Right? As silly as this sound, this right here brings more harm into our life than I think it brings good. And I'm not talking about the things that you look. Oh, Addison, you're on the screen. I'm not talking about the things that you look at as much as I'm talking about the time it takes away from your family. And I'm guilty of that. Is anybody in this room? We're on a holiday weekend. I challenge y'all to take this, put it somewhere you can't hear it or see it, and spend time with your family. Because I think there's a calling in us to be more, do more. Is Jesus the door that you entered? And lastly, has a thief entered into your life? Is there things in your life you need to come? You need to fall down on your knees before God and say, God, remove these things from my life. It did not enter through the door. Y'all stand with me. Let's go to the Lord's Prayer.